live from our favorite watering hole. This is episode 126 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by inkwhiskey.com.
Right now,
I gotta ask you though, is this what's it like being back at the bar that you finished out the night before at, wearing the same clothes and still having an open tab?
I actually didn't end up here last night. Is that you're talking about yourself?
Oh, no, I'm talking about you.
Oh, no, I was downtown at an awards banquet, but went to an after party, partied late. It's now afternoon time, and I'm still wearing the same clothes as yesterday. However, my team won dead fucking last, and we got a trophy for it. We are the losers.
Nice. What were you competing in?
We got this for, well, we actually officially won two of them, for kickball and for flag football.
So you suck on multiple levels.
Yes, and right now we're doing all right at dodgeball, but we only had 1 week, so.
Yeah.
Well, we got that going for us.
Before we get too far into this, I'm Derek. With me, as always, is Tony. And
yep.
We have a special guest with us here this week.
Where?
I don't know. I guess the guest bartender.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah. But we also have Mr. Tony Maiello with us, one of our good friends and friends of the show, artist and writer extraordinaire.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we lie a lot on this show.
Okay, that's good, obviously.
Yeah. So... But yeah, Tony just happened to be, in our hometown. Didn't bother telling us he was fucking here, except for the fact that he made the mistake of posting something on Facebook that we saw. So
I had every intentions of working while I was here, and I've spent a lot of time visiting the fine local taverns in this town. So I haven't gotten much work done.
And so we just bring you to another one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I like that we say that we're working, researching when we're at bars to do the whole Drunk on Comics thing.
We are researching and working and stuff like that.
So that's cool, because then you can, like, just save your bar tab receipts and deduct them on your taxes.
That's not a bad idea.
Where I have to hide them from my wife.
Hopefully she won't hear this. But... All right, should we get things kicked off here, or is there more bullshit we need to ponder on before we get moving?
No, there's not much I can ponder at this moment in time. I'm still feeling the effects of previous night alcohol, a.k.a. my hangover, is setting in now.
I can't say it, the pontification of Tony is going to be on the low end today, is that what you're saying?
Yes, and that you use such a big word makes my head hurt.
The best thing for a hangover is a little hair of the dog.
More booze.
The hair of the dog that bit you.
Yeah.
That is true.
We do actually have one other silent guest here who probably won't say anything. She's just sitting there drinking her drink. But, you can hear...
The rattling of the ice.
Yeah. Mel is here as well, so...
Hi.
Yeah, so she probably... That's probably all we're getting out of her.
Close. I have more drink.
Tony, do you want to kick it off, or you want me to start?
I guess I can start. Going with what will later be heard of as our theme for today, I at my comic book shop, there wasn't a lot on my pull list, and there's also setting up a new pull list, going to a new shop. I forget what the hell I've been reading, and I didn't realize Rocket Raccoon came out again, which I've been collecting that, so I'm like, shit, so I had to digitally download it. Unfortunately, since we are at the bar, I don't have my computer on me, but I did take notes. So I was at least smart enough to do that. I really wish I could have shown you the pages in this, though, because the story was fucking awesome. It's he just got done battling, you know, his ex-girlfriends and everything in the long ongoing story. So this was kind of a, I don't know what you'd call it, a filler episode or filler, you know, thing. It was a offshoot of...
It was, actually, two questions. Scotty Young's still doing this?
I can get to that in a second. No,
okay, I just want to make sure, because you started talking about wanting me to see the pages, and then I'm like, well, wait, is it still Scotty?
Yeah, it was Scotty, and then the art was Scotty and Jake Parker.
Okay.
Did some, too.
And then second, so this was like a one-and-done issue?
Yeah, it was just, yeah, one shot kind of
okay.
A random story. The reason why it was so great was it starts off saying that they're on, like, Humpa Loompa planet, the forest planet. So, yeah, I can't remember what the exact name was for this planet, but that doesn't really matter.
I don't know if you can remember the name of our planet today.
Earth?
Earth, yeah.
So, Rocket is...
is the DC version of that Earth 2?
Earth 2.
The Rocket is telling a story to these little alien children, and, all right, kids, you know, they're all camping, it's time to go to bed, and they're like, just tell us one more. And, of course, Groot goes, I am Groot. And as Rocket can have conversations, he will then kind of interpret what he's saying, you know, like, because everyone else can kind of understand Groot at times, and others, they can't, but Rocket always does. And he goes, no, not the one about the map. So you're thinking, okay, they're going to tell another story. And he goes, fine, you're telling it. And I thought it was just a one-page shoot of him telling a story. No, Groot told the entire story for the rest of the comic book. Starts off, Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. Everyone's dialogue, I am Groot. I am Groot. Even the signs on, like, the windows and stuff of, like, these shops and everything when they're going through says Groot. Or it says, I am Groot. Like, everything is, I am Groot. And, yeah, they're obviously there's still a story that they're telling, so you had a more or less, it was visual story to get what was happening. But I just was cracking up. I was almost thinking of doing the entire review as...
I am Groot. Yeah. You know, it's kind of cool, though, because last week we talked about Rasputin.
Yeah, and that, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, which... Tony, I don't know if you got to see Rasputin, but that was, I can't remember his first name. Alex Grecian wrote it, and Riley Rossmo did the art on it. And the entire book only had 28 word balloons or, like, monologue boxes.
Really?
The entire book. I mean, there's, like, pages where there's no words at all on there. And so it's a very, very visual story.
That's awesome. I really like comics like that because that's a true... collaboration between the writer and the artist,
mm-hmm.
because the writer is giving direction that needs to be displayed visually, and when as a team they can make that work, it's phenomenal. I love, you know, when you can tell a compelling story and keep the words to a minimum. I like that collaboration aspect of it.
When you make the words three words and
yeah, and you walk away going, oh my god, you know,
it's a hell of a lot tougher.
Definitely, it's a much harder way to, you know, tell the story, display the artwork. You know, the artist and the writer rely heavily on each other to kind of pick up each other. Not so much pick up each other's slack, but.
Fill in the blanks.
Fill in the blanks, yeah. So to speak. But when you can do it with very minimal or no words,
mm-hmm.
You know both of them are like, they're on their game. Well, they know what they're doing.
This had to be, I'm just assuming, but this had to be a hell of a lot of fun for Scotty Young to do, though, too, because if you think about it, you know, he's like going, sweet, I don't have to write so much. I can actually use my artistic side
right.
and show what I want. You know, and not have to, you know, tell the story.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of books where, well, we've talked about it before, where writers get a little bit wordy and they're like, nope, this has to be in there. And it's like you could let your artist actually do a lot of the work for you
yeah.
and tell the story and move the pacing along a little bit faster. Now, my one question for you, Tony, is about pacing on that. Then, did it read too fast?
I was going to just say that. It kind of, and I had to reread it to actually... see some of the story, because I'm like, all right, they're on an adventure, they're fighting these guys, they're doing Spoker here and there, they you know, then killed a Cyclops and like and all these things to get to the treasure, because it was about the map and the treasure map that Groot had. But when I reread it, there's a small things that I'm like, holy shit, like I read it too fast. First off, when they're getting in this battle, they got a case. They stole a case, and that's what people were chasing after them, which was full of money, that then got them to go enter a tournament, a poker tournament, out in outer space. Somehow Deadpool showed up. I thought that was kind of random.
Deadpool,
got to be in everything.
Well, yeah, and Wolverine can't show up anymore, yep. So you got to have one of the two.
Yep. which then he wins a key off of this guy, which then unlocks the sword, which then the sword was able to then go kill the Cyclops.
This sounds like a video game.
Yeah, which then they got the eyeball. The eyeball was able to find the mystical island, which then they go in, and then there's a pirate in there that's like, choose, you know, one of the three chests.
That's
one
not
is
how
money.
He said it.
No, well, yeah, well, he did. He held up his finger, one.
How would a pirate say it, Tony?
He would say, "I am Groot."
Yeah.
Now, in this story, he would say it, but you're right now relaying what the pirate said, so how would the pirate say it?
Well, he was a space pirate, so I don't know how their dialect is, but...
It's still piratey.
Arr. That's all I can think of.
You got to talk like a pirate, matey.
Pudding pops!
Yeah.
I'm not good with imitating things.
No, Tony's... unfortunately, Tony's...
he's pirate deficient?
Yeah, his impressions are lacking. Oh. We'll just leave it at that.
I can do a good Groot.
I think you do a better Silent Bob.
Every now and then I have those wise words and then I just need to shut up.
Yep.
Ultimately, this story was fun. And just even the last page had like a hilarious joke. Like all these kids are like, did you understand any of that? Did you understand? No, because all of a sudden you hear clapping from the distance and it pans into a little leaf kid. That was the best story ever. Because the Leaf Kid could obviously understand it all and what the words meant.
But did he say, "I am Leaf"?
No, the Leaf Kid actually talked, so...
Oh, okay.
That would have been funny, too.
Nice. That actually, like, you know, like, I'm not... I like the character of Rocket, but I'm not big enough on it to actually buy it. But that's an issue that I think I might actually want to go pick up.
Like I said, it was fun, and just the art was stellar, which it had to be to tell its visual story.
You know, those books that can pull it off, where you are using minimal dialogue, I think have some of the best rereadability out of any books out there. Because you're picking up small nuances throughout the whole thing every time you go back through.
You know, how many times do you go and pick up that silent issue of G.I. Joe with Snake Eyes, you know, that came out in the 80s? And, I don't know about you, but if they ever reprint it or I ever find it, I always buy it. I always pick that up and go through that. I think it's phenomenal.
Well, the final issue of X-23 was completely silent.
Okay.
You also had Frank Miller's Sin City Silent Night book that he did. You know, I mean, those are two.
Marvel did something around 2000, I believe. It's called Nuff Said.
Yeah.
And I got the collected thing of they did for a month or whatever. Each title silent. Had like just visual, and that was the best random grab that I ever got at a con was. I'm like, there's no words. So it was just visual and compelling.
Yeah. Yeah, those are always fun ones. So now I'm thinking, I'm like, God, what other silent issues?
It was the Hawkeye. The Hawkeye did the one that was through the dog's eyes.
So oh, yeah, the pizza dog.
Yeah. Pizza dog.
Yeah, the pizza dog issue. That one won an Eisner.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think for best.
When did that come out?
Year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's the Matt Fraction, David Aja
book. Oh, okay. You know what? I heard about that. I just... Pizza dog. Okay.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that one. So Mel did talk. All right. This week... Actually, you know, Tony, it's funny because you said you didn't have a whole lot on your poll. And when I was first looking at my poll, I'm like, yeah, I don't really have a ton either. And then I went in and realized, oh, I do. But... I only picked up one book from the big two this week, and that book, I'll just mention it now rather than later, was the Dark Tower drawing of three.
Okay.
So it's not even,
it's not even a
standard Marvel book. But everything else I picked up was from like a creator-owned type thing. And I talked about issue one of this, and it's time to bring it back up again. To go along with our theme, which we might as well kind of reveal now, is... animal people, or you know, anthropomorphic.
Wow,
animals.
You know what? I'm glad you said that instead of me because I can never say that word right. I don't know why I flub it like crazy.
Yeah. So, but anyway, this is issue four of Ted McKeever's The Superannuated Man, and you know, when I first started talking about this book, it was. I explained that basically what we had here was a guy who seemed like the last human on Earth, and you had all of these different animal people that were now running things. And his name in the book, he doesn't actually have a real name. All the animal people just call him He, like H-E. He.
He?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this book has been very confusing because you're trying to figure out what's going on. You find out that the animals, they're still very carnivorous, and apparently they're one of their favorite things, but it's not legal, is the pink meat, i.e. humans. And
I like the long pill.
The what?
The long pork.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this one here, he has gotten into a little bit of trouble with, you know, some of the animals there, and it's kind of a final showdown at the end of this first story arc. And I'm not going to lie, I'm still fucking confused as to what's going on in this book. But with that said, I'm loving it. I don't care that I don't fully understand, because the characters in this, from, you know, it's almost like a mob boss kind of thing with your giant elephant who has the creepy mouth coming out of his trunk.
That caught my attention right away, because it was just so off-putting to look at the teeth in the end of the trunk like that. It was cool. I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Artistically, it was a great attention grabber.
It's disturbing because you know elephants have mouths.
Yeah. Is this like a world where the animals got mutated, tested on or something?
Actually, this is actually one of the best things in here is, he actually starts talking about it, how no one knows, including the animals, as to how the fuck they even showed up or where they came from.
They just all how they sudden, evolved. Yeah. They just started over.
Yeah, like, I mean, he, there's actually a line in here, and I'm going to, talk on here, where he says, no matter how much those quacks analyzed and probed your mammalian assholes, they could never figure out why you all transmuted. For all they could figure out, you simply got shit out of the evolutionary poop chute of life. You know, and it's like, and then he's like, you know, he's even mentioning how these animals don't even know. So it's, I kind of like the fact that you don't have to have the reason. It just is.
Okay.
And I think because of that, even if you're going to, like, if you haven't read the first three issues, you can grab this issue and go, you know what? I don't have to know.
Well, I would be really upset thinking in the back of my head, man, did I miss that? Did I miss it? That they even just say that no one knows is good enough for a backstory of saying, okay, then we can get over that hump and just keep going.
You know what, too, is that is something that makes it more inviting, I feel, to the reader, that mystery.
Yes.
Because when nobody knows what the pivotal event was that caused this universe in this comic book to occur, it makes it more approachable. And it'll, like, you know, Wolverine was, you know, he's the most popular Marvel character. And for the longest time, up until maybe, two or three years ago, nobody really knew his origin, his true origin, why he has no memories. And then once they explained that, it kind of took away some of the mystique of the character.
Yeah.
I think having these mysteries surrounding a character or a universe, quote-unquote, is great for the reader, because it makes it more attractive to them.
Well, you know, and I think the other thing is, too, is that it leaves it open for a potential story arc later.
Well, you know, even beyond that, it's the fact that it's open allows Ted McKeever to write more elaborate stories. He doesn't have to go in any one direction. He has a whole wealth of possibilities to it.
Well, and I think what works here, too, though, for the reader, is that when you don't give answers, it allows their imagination to fill in the gaps, and then they feel a little bit more, I guess, involved with the story and the characters that are there.
Because, well, I mean, look at why are movie versions of very successful book series so disappointing to those true fans? Because what the director envisions and puts on screen is not always what they see in their head. So they get disappointed because it wasn't their vision that was put on screen.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it allows the reader to use their own imagination.
Yeah.
Yet they're still seeing pictures. So it's, you know, it's the best of both worlds. Best of both worlds, almost.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the best of both words, I do actually need to talk about the dialogue in here. This is one of those books where he nails it. Like, you know, it comes across as so natural. Like, you know, there's occasional cussing in here, but it's exactly the way you would expect people to talk. And then you have these animals who, they aren't quite to the same level of intelligence.
Yeah, I remember with the first issue in the warthog or something talking, and it sounded like he was drunk, but so their speech, they have a speech impediment still.
Well, yeah, like they're kind of
He sounded
stupid.
Like Derek?
Yeah. Sounds like Tony at 3 a.m. at the after parties. But, yeah, it's like I love the fact, you know, that, and he is very smart, although he's a survivor and you don't really see his intelligence but too often. But when he pulls it out in this issue, you realize how cunning and sharp he really is. And I'm like, all right, that's slick. It's really nice. But the one thing that I really do have to point out is that the art by McKeever is literally some of the best shit I've seen in years. I mean, it's all black and white.
Yep.
And it's a Golden Age size comic, so it's more like a magazine format, if you will. But, you know, just pencils and inks, and, I mean, God, the line work that he has in here, the expressions, like, everything. And actually, Tony, you were looking through
I was just looking through this book, and, you know, there were just panels in this book that I would hang on my wall as fine art. I mean, the line work, some of the line work is so intricate and so captivating. It's some of it is really truly mesmerizing to look at. It really is beautiful, beautiful work.
Yeah. Well, it needs to be mentioned too, it's all black and white. Like,
I did mention that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, it needs to be mentioned again. It's all black and white.
In his hungover mind, he didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the cover and all that is colored, but
even
yeah.
The cover though, the cover is a color image on a stark white background, and it is still very attention grabbing. It's just one image of he sitting cross-legged, and just the depth of the image of this character sitting there with the play of the blacks as shadows. It's beautiful. It really is. It's captivating. You look at it and you're like, you see him sitting there and you see the turmoil and woe he's feeling, and it's immensely detailed, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork.
Yeah, this is you know, and this is one of those books I heard nothing of it before it came out, and I'm like, no, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, like, it's like, I haven't heard of it until you showed it to me, and I really want to pick it up because I'm, you know, I'm looking at it and it's beautiful.
Well, I mean, you know, this is actually one of those where I've had a few people that have, you know, either talked to me in person or have, you know, tweeted at us or emailed us or Facebooked or whatever, and they've actually thanked me for bringing it up because they're like, I never would have grabbed that.
Yeah,
you know, if you hadn't mentioned it. But everybody I've talked to that's read this book has fallen in love with it. So highly recommend going and picking it up. The cool thing was is that there was some stuff in the back, a bunch of like collected things from McKeever, which I've never seen, and I'm probably going to have to go and buy some more of his stuff because I can just look at his artwork all day.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
it was beautiful.
Of the fact
it really was beautiful.
Yeah. He's got a killer story. But, I mean, when you can put that kind of intriguing story that draws you in together with artwork that you can't stop looking at, you've got one of the best books in the comic book medium that you can have. So that wraps it up, I guess, for me.
Yep. And for Off the Shelf, you had a very cool-looking cover that you showed me.
I did. I can't remember. Shoot. It was
Green Lantern number 36.
36, thank you. And, Tony, the artist on that one?
Francis Cordella.
Okay. This is, I'll pull up a picture here for you, Mr. Maiello, so you can see. I apologize, it's a little fuzzy. But wait, who'd you say did the cover?
Francis Portella.
You sure it's not Philip Tan?
It looks like Tan's signature.
From what this is saying, it was his cover, but maybe this app is wrong.
Yeah, I think it's a Philip Tan cover.
Tan, Tony, I think you're a dirty, dirty liar.
You are a filthy little whore.
I don't try to lie. I just get drunk and say shit.
Let's see. Right there. It says Tan.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm pretty sure that's Philip Tan's, but we will...
But that is a very... I mean, did he draw this background by hand? No, there's no way he could have done this by hand.
I think that had to have been... you know, like
digitally manipulated.
Yeah,
because you'd go blind drawing that by hand.
Yeah, it's.
But still, the image of the Green Lantern with that hand. I mean, it's very striking, very stark.
Yeah, it's the psychedelic, which in the corner starts as this black and white checkerboard, and then it's warping.
It's
with
warped
this,
within itself
with this giant hand coming up and around and grabbing
now,
Green Lantern.
That being said, it's a very nice cover, but. A Jim Steranko would have done this all by hand.
Yeah, he would have, but you know, that's a... here. Sorry, Mel, I will show you.
Thank you.
But yeah, so that's our best on tap. We will clarify as the show goes on, but I'm pretty sure that's a Philip Tan.
Well, according to even DC Comics, it's saying that it's by Francis Portella.
Yeah, that is weird.
Did he do the previous cover?
I don't know. This is just very odd. It's a conundrum.
Stop using big words.
You can make his head explode.
Yeah, but I wonder. Maybe I don't know. We
should have our shit together before we start recording.
Well, if we didn't start drinking before we started recording, maybe we would. But all right. So anyway, enough of us being dumb on that. Where do we need to go to next here, Tony?
What do we have to be dumb on now?
News.
Dumb on news. All right.
So they're canceling San Diego Comic-Con. I just heard that. Yeah. I mean, that's a truthism.
Oh, did you? Well, the one other truthism that I heard is that, and actually I heard this on the local radio, after the election on Tuesday, it's legal to smoke weed wherever you want. So just you can go outside and just smoke weed on the street corner.
We got to do that soon because that meteor is coming down next week and wiping out the planet.
Yeah, but feel free.
Right. You know what? Though, once they clone the dinosaurs, no one's really going to care about anything else.
Yeah. So go smoke weed outside as much as you want right now. And
I'm just thinking of a story now of people getting high, imagining cloning dinosaurs right before the meteor comes again and being like, damn,
you know
that
what?
Sucks for them.
I'm going to smoke pot while riding a dinosaur right at that fucking meteor.
Just afraid they'll start mixing up the dinosaurs.
You know, I want a velociraptor with horns on his head.
That's a triceraptor.
Triceraptor, there you go.
All right. Actually, I do have some sad news that I do want to pass along. Jeremy Dale passed away on November 3rd, and he was a creator over at Action Lab. He created Skyward. He's done a number of other things. Basically, if you guys go to our Facebook page, the main reason that I wanted to bring it up, there's a GoFundMe page where you can help his wife out with medical bills and funeral expenses and whatnot if you are so able to do and would like to do so. Or you can just look up GoFundMe.com / Jeremy Dale and you can go there. So, you know, he also worked on G.I. Joe Real American Hero as well and a couple other things too. But our thoughts and prayers with his family and friends at this time. So that's the sad news. So on to some happier stuff.
Marvel had another teaser come out, X-Men 92.
What?
Like the TV show. Like, because, you know, they've been doing all these random teaser stuff, so...
What X-Men TV show?
The X-Men animated show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so that's got something to do with whatever the fuck they're doing, bringing up all these new things, and that's going to be... I don't know if they're just doing that to say they're bringing back the animated show, or if they're going to have a book based off that team.
Is Steve Gordon going to be doing the character development for that?
All these shit, we don't know. Like they've repeated House of M, Civil War, you know, all these things that it's like, what are they getting at? And it's all coming out next summer, so there's that was mentioned. So
okay, This one here, a special shout out to, speaking of smoking weed on the street corner, to our buddy Jay up in Toronto area with anelegantweapon.ca. Go check out his podcast. The new Star Wars Party Variant Edition cover was released from Marvel. And for people that read the original Marvel Star Wars series back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, eventually they created this one character called Jaxxon, J-A-X-X-O-N. And he was a smuggler anthropomorphic rabbit. And the party variant has him trying to get in and him pushing, hello, anybody? You know, and they're all, like, trying to, like, hold the door closed and trying to go, shh. But Darth Vader's going, and he's like, I can hear you breathing. But it's kind of fun because, you know, it's like they're paying a little homage to the character that a lot of people loved, a lot of people hated. But he's not being invited to the party, which I think is why they're calling it the party variant. So, just kind of a little bit of fun there.
Brian Michael Bendis is going to be on Late Night.
This, to me, is really cool. Excuse me, I got the hiccups now. But this, to me, is really cool because of the fact that when has it gotten to the point where comic book creators are getting on late-night talk shows? I mean, it's...
It never was before. The only person, the exception, would be Stan Lee.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, Stan Lee... Yeah, but I don't even remember him being on a talk show.
He had to have been, but I'm just saying for people to even know, if you talk to a random person on the street of, hey, do you like comic books, you know? The only person that people would know prolifically would be, say, holy shit, I used a big word.
A huger word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be Stan Lee. Yeah. So, or possibly they may have heard of Jack Kirby and stuff too, but to have all these newer people, these new faces within the comic book industry, yeah, getting on, that's cool.
Yeah.
And it's all due to the movies.
Well, now, in this case, Bendis is, he's going to be talking with Seth Meyers. Now, he's going to be on January 20th is when he's going to be appearing. And he's discussing his new series, Powers, which is going to be on the PlayStation Network.
Okay.
You know, the show that's going to be on there. And so he's going to be talking about that. So it's not directly talking about comics, but it's based on his comic book. And obviously, you know, they'll probably talk about some other things. But Seth Meyers actually also, he and Bill Hader wrote Spider-Man The Short Halloween. So, you know, they have a little bit of history, or he has a little bit of history in comics as well. So, you know, there is that.
Okay.
On there. So, you know, that's one I'm actually going to be tuning in for.
Speaking of Kirby, he is now getting credited for the stuff that he should have been credited a long time ago in comic books.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... And this is a lot to do with... Actually, probably 100% to do
yeah.
With the settlement between the Kirby estate and Marvel Comics, where they're now giving him credits on the movie. And from what I heard as well, is that it's actually going to be... kind of retroactive as well on previous movies for when they are creating new copies of the DVDs and Blu-rays as well, is what I've heard. I haven't been able to verify that part yet, but it is pretty cool. Just glad to see that he's getting the recognition and credit that he deserves, as well as the money for creating those characters. Well, you know,
what's he going to do with the money, though? He's dead.
No, but his family is.
I know, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, actually, this is off subject, but this is what happens. There was...
Tangent.
There was a few years ago, because I love watching on PBS, The Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or as I've always just called it, how much is my shit worth?
Right.
You know? But there was this woman that had this giant collection of Jack Kirby art that had basically been given to her, like, either by the Kirby's or by a friend or something like that. This is a huge collection. And what cracked me up is, like, it was a rerun a number of years ago when I saw it, and I'm like going, okay, original art has skyrocketed
yes
in the last 5 to 10 years. But they're like, oh, well, you know, everything that you have here, you probably have about $50,000. And I'm like, she's got like 30 pieces of Kirby art. And you're saying 50K?
You know, depending on the book, depending on at what point in his career, and depending on, you know, of course, the value of the art depends on the characters that appear in the panels and everything. I collect comic art. I bought a Kirby page. I know what I paid for a Captain America page, where you see Captain America's page face in one panel and his back in another, and I paid a pretty penny for this page.
Yeah.
So if you have decent quality stuff, you're going to be paying thousands.
Oh, yeah. But
thousands per page.
I just felt like the 50K mark or whatever it was that they gave was so ludicrously low.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
You know, I'm like...
Yeah, but the thing is
guys on that show, they don't know comic art.
No, but I'm sitting there going, I'll give her 50K for it, right? Because, you know what? I'm gonna cherry pick a couple pieces and I'm gonna sell the rest and double my investment,
right?
Without any problem, and then I'll let that guy go and double his.
I mean, I've gotten offers on this Captain America page for twice what I paid for it.
Yeah,
and I don't want to sell it. I mean, it's, you know, one of the prizes of my collection.
Yeah,
I know that.
Well, I've got some original art from you. I've offered people to buy it for half what I paid. Nobody will take it.
No, yeah. I'm sure. You know, if you trade it for food.
No, that doesn't work either.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No. Yes.
I'm sorry, Derek. Truly, I'm sorry.
No, I'm fucking with you. I don't have any original art.
I didn't.
That's awesome. Who would?
Yeah.
Mel, you have some of my original art?
I do, yeah. You drew me something back in Wizard of
Chicago. That's right. Wizard
of
Chicago in the bar. I was drunk, though, so it probably wasn't that good.
Oh, I was drunk too.
that reminds me. A few years ago at a con, we had some artists who will remain nameless just because it was slightly more embarrassing for some than others, that I was offering one free drink to the, like, somebody was like putting out these like little cards, and they were like the size of baseball cards.
Yeah.
And they had like their information. They were terribly produced, whatever shit, but the back of them were just solid white. And so we grabbed, I know I stole a couple pens from Mel, and I grabbed a pen from somebody else, and there were three artists, and I'm like, all right, I gave them three characters to choose from. Mm-hmm. I go, you have 4 minutes, draw. The best one wins a drink. And they're like, what? I'm like, draw, monkeys, draw.
Monkeys, draw. I remember
that.
And, yeah, and the best part is, the one is a fairly well-known artist in the industry, and he begged me, he goes, is there any way I can have that back? I'm like, no. He goes, just do me one favor. He goes, please don't, like, ever post that anywhere. I'm like, oh, it's bad.
Do I know this artist?
I'm sure you know the name.
Yeah?
Yeah. Off air. We'll
okay.
Check.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was... so, we Tony, I think we need to do, like, probably, like, maybe Motor City or something this year. We need to have a... What's that?
Just stab me in the heart. Thank you.
Well...
We'll go to your con, too.
All right, thank you.
But it'll be at a bar event.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can come.
There's bars. What do you mean I can come? You know I promote a convention, right?
We'll get to that. Incognito.
Okay.
Come on. You know, we don't bring you on the show to not let you plug your shit.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'll plug something. Damn.
Yeah. That's what Tony's been saying all week.
And then he comes home with a loser award that she gave him. Ah.
And a blue mouth.
Yeah.
So, all right, Tony, let's get back to news.
Let's get back to your blue mouth. How was Smurfette? No.
He wouldn't know, but Handy Smurf is Handsy Smurf. We'll just put it that way. Tony, explain this DC Convergence event to me.
All right, ultimately,
don't know?
No, I do.
That's where that's going.
I do know. It's copying what Marvel's doing with all their shit of converging all their worlds and everything, and it seems like this is going to be their big crisis again where...
Yeah, hasn't DC done this before, and then... They've done this twice before, and it just didn't
But not
didn't
the new
take.
52.
Oh,
Infinite Crisis, Final
52.
Crisis, they've done many crises. From everything that I've been reading, it is also going to try to take pre-New 52 and converge some of the old storylines. So
let's take stuff that we no longer acknowledge and
acknowledge it.
And all of a sudden say, oh yeah, you know what, this matters, and we're going to mix it into, put it into everything.
Well, ever since Flashpoint happened, all those realities and stuff were wiped out. Right now, this is supposed to introduce a new big bad guy, but as well as take back some of those original storylines.
So they're going to put Dan DiDio into the comic books now?
Maybe. I doubt that. But what they are going to do is actually take the...
That's our food cook.
Oh, that's your food cook. Oh, I got the headphones on. I'm like, what the hell is all that noise? Like, these microphones are great, but like...
Yeah, yeah, right?
Okay.
It's the deep fryer.
I ordered us a bunch of food. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. It's just going to be another event that I am looking forward to it, though, because trying to find out, you know, some of those past storylines that they've talked about, and they've even, I know Batman, when it first originally it started, there was a note that was given to him in Flashpoint that he still has that's saying, you know, not everything as it seems, and the reality isn't reality. I'm hoping they start exploring.
Maybe they're going to go back, they're going to, like, erase New 52 and go back to the original universe.
But they've done some, the Court of Owls is one of the coolest things I've ever
read. You know what? It was a really cool story. And it'll never go away. It'll always be there. You can always go and read it. But I think there's still a lot of backlash. I haven't bought any DC since New 52 started.
Well, I will say I bought more DC since New 52 started than before. But that's because I never really bought DC before.
But see, my philosophy is, regardless of the... how much history there is with the characters or the universe or whatever, good writing trumps all. And if you're telling good stories, people are going to pick up the books to read them. Word of mouth. And, you know, you're telling good stories, people are going to... Look at Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
He came on Batman, and everybody was like, holy shit, you got to read this stuff. Everybody was all over it, and Batman became huge again.
Yeah.
Every time Scott Snyder touched something, people were like, I gotta pick that up. And the man writes quality stuff. The thing is if you, whether it's DC or Marvel or anybody, if you're telling quality stories, people will read them.
Yeah.
People will come, Ray. It's, you know, if you want to do shit, you want to do shit work, half-assed, mediocre shit, who the fuck wants to read that? Nobody. I don't want to produce it. I don't want to read it.
Tell us how you really feel.
Telling you how I really feel. Look, you see, you get a few beers in me, and this is what happens.
All right. So actually, though, speaking of Scott Snyder, Witches, his new comic series, was picked up by Brad Pitt's production company, which, by the way, Tony, you and I need to sue him.
I know. I saw that. I thought that's the only reason why you want to mention this.
No, his production company is called Plan B, which is the same name as our karaoke boy band.
Plan B?
Yeah, because it sounds like a really good idea that night. You just have to pay for it the next day.
Right. Well, so. but you ripped off that name from the abortion pill. Is that called Plan B?
Well, maybe. But whatever. They were using it in entertainment. Well,
entertainment capacity.
It kind of is in an entertainment capacity, but not the same. You know? So... Anyway, Witches, and we missed this one a couple weeks ago. I have no idea how we missed it on our news feeds, but whatever. This is going to be made into a film. And you and I were talking about this right before the show.
Yeah.
This book is, it's terrifying. Like, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do. The cool thing about this, from what I understood, is that both Scott Snyder and Jock, who is the artist, they're going to be executive producers on the film.
That's awesome. That right there means that they're looking to maintain the quality that the comic book is delivering.
And the vision.
And the vision, yes. And keep the imagery within the realm of the book. I think Scott Snyder is an extremely talented writer. And he is a hell of a nice guy. And I am so glad that one of his properties got picked up. He deserves a big, giant movie check, and I hope he got one. And I didn't even know about this book.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and pick this up just on your recommendation, Derek, because, you know, I love...
Because I'm smart.
Well, yeah, I mean,
shut up, Tony.
But yeah, I'm glad for him. I'm glad for comics, independent comics.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear.
The other one of his that I would love to see come into film, and I've talked about this before, was The Wake. With
Just going to say Wake.
Yeah, because fucking Murphy on the artwork on
that. Yeah, I mean, that's some beautiful, beautiful stuff.
You don't even need storyboards.
No.
It's drawn like a fucking
movie. It's all drawn, yep.
Yeah, so.
Derek, what can you tell me about Battle World?
About what?
Battle World.
It's a world where there's lots of battles.
Yeah, and hopefully there's toads, because battle toads are really cool.
Okay, so
man, now I wish I had my sketchbook.
No, I just found this news out right now, and it is explaining all the damn teasers that we've been
missing?
Talking about within Marvel.
Okay.
All those things are going to, which a lot of people have been alluding to, Secret Wars, but okay, how the fuck do all these stories allude to Secret War? The Secret Wars that's coming out this summer, or next summer, 2015, and it is part of the new Battle World that's going to be taking place. Instead of, there's a teaser trailer for it, instead of different, you know, pieces of worlds making this giant world, the Beyonder is coming down, and he is taking...
Wait, okay, explain the Beyonder to me again.
He's pretty much godlike. He's
godlike. He created a world to have the original Secret Wars on.
Okay.
Back in the 80s. Late 80s. Yeah. And he basically took pieces from different worlds and put them together to create a planet. And then these heroes and villains were transported there to do battle with each other.
So now, on the map, it seems, there is a, you know, I'm forgetting half of the things. Like, storyline of this, storyline of that.
Age of Apocalypse, the World War Hulk or Planet Hulk. You've got the Years of Future Past.
They're all different
House
little
of M,
like
Civil War. All these little.
So how they're going to be, and if they're battling with each other, or what the hell they're doing, I have no clue.
Fear Itself.
Yes, but they are.
No, Tony, Fear Itself is not in there.
It may be. Who knows? So. That is what those teasers...
And yes, all the crunchy sounds are the food being delivered to us. Thanks, Anna.
Welcome.
All of those... So, at least now we know what the hell is going on there, and if they tease another world or vision or thought, that's what it is.
Okay.
So, that's kind of cool to finally know what the fuck... But...
I have a question then.
Mm-hmm.
Will this crazy battle world, will this include the Attack on Titan crossover? With Marvel,
it might.
And
make me cry.
What? What? You don't like this idea?
No, I don't like the idea.
Why not?
It's two completely different realms. You have Attack on Titan, which is anime.
Wait.
That was Mel farting. Thank you.
Tony, for future reference, you can just clip that one little bit for a sound effect whenever we need it. Just...
No one really wanted to ketchup. Never...
All right. Let's just move on. I do have...
Jeez, Mel, if you need to let it out, just let it out.
Yeah. It's so gross. All right, yeah. There are bathrooms here. So, one last thing for any fans of the Dead Island video game, Deep Silver has teamed up with Dark Horse for a free Dead Island digital comic, which spans the gap between Dead Island 2 and the new Dead Island comic book, new Dead Island video game, which is Dead Island, I don't know, Cheese Dick Vacation, whatever it is. But the first
that
issue...
That sounds enticing. Cheese Dick Vacation.
Yeah, it is.
Is that Saw Chevy Chase?
So it's after Riptide? You've got to get all the facts here. Right?
It's after number two and before the new one.
Okay, so it's after Riptide.
Yeah.
Get it right. You still haven't gotten past that level for me.
It's because I don't play it. You just go, hey, beat this level for me. Okay. So... anyway, that's out there. This article is on GameInformer.com, so they might have a little bit more information on where to get it there. So I think that does it for news and notes, Tony.
Okay.
And it's getting a little louder in here, so I think we're all going to have to speak up just a little bit. But
what?
Tony, you got Indy Turnpike this week.
Yes, I do, my friends, and I should probably open up the sleeve to get it out.
Well, here, while you're opening that up and making terrible noise with your pre-sealed bag, this is Tooth and Claw number 1 from Image Comics, written by Kurt Busiek. Benjamin Dewey did art, and Jordy Belair did colors.
Yeah. And before getting into the book and giving credit where credit's due on the first page, let's go to the last page. Did you actually read that?
Yeah.
That was actually kind of funny when he's talking about trying to get his team together and how it's going to work out. And I'm glad it's at the end, back, because it's, you know, a little off thing. But having Kurt, you know, try to say, hey, this is what I'm trying to get. It makes you, the reader, if you don't know anything about some of these people, know a little bit about them, have them set them up. But also just them kind of saying, yeah, I'm going to be on. And having him just trying to shoot what his story is.
Well, okay, the best part about this was you've got Kurt Busiek here trying to pitch to the artist. He's like, hey, yeah, you know, I wrote Astro City, and I wrote Marvels, and I wrote this, and I wrote... And
why would he have to pitch to anybody?
Well, and he's like, you know, and I got this idea, and, you know, it's about, like, you know, these animal people, and there's wizardry, and he's like, yeah, I'm in. Okay, yeah, but, okay, so, like, the hero, like, you don't know. He's like, no, I'm in. Okay, yeah, but, wait, what, you're in? And yeah. then they go to Jordy Belair. Yeah, so we got this idea. Yeah,
I'm already in.
Yeah, I want to color this. Can I color this? Well, yeah, but you don't know. See, like, the hero, there's going to be, like, no, I'm in. And then going to the letter, same thing. Yeah, I'm in. You know, so it's just kind of like one of those cool things. But I liked it because it was drawn in the back page. And Tony, explain how that was. Because it's like text messaging or instant messaging.
But their avatars are kind of what the story's about, which is animal people.
Yes. What? Animal, more anthropomorphic animal people?
Yes.
In 1 week? What?
Yeah. I only had 4 books with animal people this week. Only 4.
Are you celebrating FurryCon or something?
Furries? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, and this is a pretty heavy book. It is a double issue, as you would say, or whatever, 48-page book. And you want to know how much it costs? $2.99.
Not like that $5.99 rub and smell bullshit.
Yeah. This is well worth it. Like, getting into the overall art, I mean, who we've already said the team is with on this, it is fucking gorgeous. Like, these pages are just popping out. And
well, I picked this up, and it was funny because when you texted me and said, dude, I got Indy this week. This is what I'm doing, and there's no question. I've got this down. Like, and I'm like, okay, cool. And like, you're like, if you didn't pick it up, go back and get it. I'm like, okay, well, I got it. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I opened this thing up, and there's 2 things that I liked about this, like as far as the overall look of this book. One for me was the fact that it reads like these old, like, fantasy books when I was a kid looked in my head. And that's impressive. And then number 2, with all these animals, that you're still able to get the actual animal features. Like, there's one where you have this eagle wizard screaming, and it just looks like him, like an eagle that is screaming in mid-flight. But yet you see the humanish side to it. I was impressed as shit with that. So... I know
the panel that you're talking about, and I remember I was looking at that panel, and I was, as well, I was impressed with how they did that, how they...
are we feeding an army here today? What the hell? What's going on?
Well, you know, I figured he's hungover, and, you know, me and you are not small people.
So yeah, we just need to have a heart attack and go to the hospital.
I'm on a diet.
What? get the fuck out of here, Ramatai.
Not today you are.
Apparently
look
not.
At all this food. You're not on a diet. Come on.
Egg,
I have
sausage and bacon.
My stomach is smaller than hers. You gotta eat.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, apparently we're gonna.
Well, our feast that is in front of us, we'll have to wait till the end of the show. Which...
Yeah. Thank God we're getting close.
Yes. But seriously, one of the things that, like I was telling you though, it is wordy, and they even have a full-on text of like almost like it's a story at one of the first pages, and you're getting into it. And I had to tell you, just go with it, Derek. You may be. Put off by the story, but...
All right, so now here's what you see. Like, you warn me. You're like, okay, it's really wordy. It's slow to get going.
It's full of...
I know it's tough for Derek to read a book with lots of words.
That's
because he has to sound them all out, and sometimes he's got to take his shoes off to count to 11.
Hey,
and,
what do you call animal people? What are they?
Anamorphic.
Yeah. Who has to sound one out? Fuck you.
Hey, I'm two beers in. Leave me alone.
And by the way, listeners, you're welcome because that's going to be in your head for the rest of the day. But no, like
we actually should sing that in closing.
But no, I mean it is in the like I said, it is way wordy. It has.
It is, but you know, you gave me this like whole like spiel like, okay, Derek, just work with it. Deal with it.
It's full of mumble jumble words that are made up for magic. But the art is just fucking phenomenal.
It was not
and
a
the
slow
story
read,
is compelling.
No, but what I'm saying, it was not a slow read. I expected it the way you warned me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to plow. I'm going to just plow through this. I'm going to be the workhorse. I'm going to get the shit done. No. Like, the only thing that slowed me down was that one page that opens up, and it's like that fantasy book that you read like when you were a kid. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Fuck. Tony. Like, and I was all worried because of what you said to me. But as soon as that page was done, it's normal comic book. Yeah, there's a lot of word balloons, there's a lot of dialogue, but that story never slowed down. So I was fine with it.
Okay.
Even though there was...
And the art is really good.
Oh, yeah.
And just
very
the fucking
pretty.
Colors. Like this
yeah,
one that I can't not close. I would buy this in a fucking heartbeat.
Well, that, once again, is the fantastic work of Jordi Belair, and there's a reason why, in my opinion, she is hands down the best fucking colorist in this industry. Like... She
I think there's some other good colorists out there, but she just is.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I'll
I mean,
just say
like,
that.
Like her and Dave Stewart, you're getting your comic book into the nachos. you know?
No this, longer mint.
This is why I don't let you handle my books. but no, I mean they're
just lick it off.
You know, there are so many good colorists out there, but I think Jordi Belair, for whatever reason, she has got an edge on everybody out there. And this book is another good fucking reason why.
And so. I'm not even really getting into what the story is about. Like, we've kind of mentioned...
Realistically, could you even explain it in, like, in a 20-second pitch?
Yeah, I think I could.
All right.
Ish.
Yes. Go.
So you have these talking, walking animals that... have magic. You have these floating cities, these citadels up in the air, but yet you have some of them that aren't allowed to be up there. Those ones on the ground kind of hate those ones up in the air, but they have to still deal with them to get some magic because the ones up there do magic. Getting magic and doing magic is failing right now, and they're trying to figure back if they can bring back the one, the champion, the thing that no one knows who is or what is, what animal tribe, what it could kind of do. Am I going over 20...
Not yet, you're close.
Holy shit, okay. And while magic is failing, they feel that they need to bring back the man that created magic. That was actually kind of close.
Yeah, I don't know if you were over or not. I actually looked at the wrong thing when I started. But
okay. that for this first issue is kind of the setting of this. Magic is failing. You have these talking, walking things, animals, tribes, and... they are trying to bring back this man, which is something that they need a lot of magic to do, and they need a huge magic circle to create to get it there. And I'm not going to say all the shit that happens, but shit happens.
Well, I don't think you can say all the shit that happens, because there's
a lot that goes on in that book.
Yeah, there really is. I have one tiny complaint, and I don't know if it's a real complaint, and that's why I'm bringing it up.
It's that your tongue is still blue.
Although his lips and teeth don't quite look so bad anymore.
The lips are cleared up.
Yeah.
It's not like I continue to.
But, you know, if he would just keep his tongue in his mouth instead of constantly sticking it out, we wouldn't be so off-put.
Yeah. Okay, my only real complaint was the Buffalo person called Seven Scars. As soon as they called him Seven Scars, I'm like, oh, that's an awesome name. But then I went and looked. I'm like, I see eight. I see eight scars. And that's a problem for me.
Yeah, well, maybe one of them is like a
continuation of one of the scars.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll look and count the scars.
3, 4, 5,
we'll start calling you OCD Derek.
Yep, let's see. There's 7 and 8.
No, so he's got 1, 2.
Okay, well, let's go with these. Yeah, people can't see this, but okay. So
just pretend you're looking at this.
One across, two across. There's three kind of coming down that way.
Right.
4, 5, 6.
And 7.
7. And then the other one coming down from under his eye, 8.
That's not, no, I don't think that's a scar.
I think that one is.
I think that's just the natural curvature of his face.
Oh, okay. So 7.5 scars.
Okay,
I can deal with
that.
I'll
give you
that. All right,
Tony's an artist, you're not, so he trumps.
Yeah.
His opinion matters more than yours.
But, wow.
But I critique and review comics.
It's called a burn.
So, therefore, why are you throwing food at me?
I have to say, though, the story is probably one of the best stories I've read.
It's huge. It's a large, very, very large.
Well, besides magic and the things that are going on and it failing, and you got this, you know, epic thing of what's going to happen. You also kind of talk about the gods. Like, that's one of the first thing in this world. The gods are to be humbled because they are the ones that give all and everything. But yet, blasphemy is, you know, the gods haven't been heard of in like over 300 years. Where have they been? And that means that somehow they must have walked the earth, or they must have been the ones to be there. Right. So they are actual things. And yeah, they haven't really been seen since magic has been kind of fading. So has that got something to tie into it? Also, I love time travel. Okay. And I've said time travel a lot. That's what I'm loving about this giant magic spell is you can't go before magic was created using magic. But yeah, somehow that's what they're trying to do, which is what kind of starts the downfall and the shit happens. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Just on a side note, I'd like to say that, you know, I really, as a comic buyer, I really appreciate Image keeping all their number ones at $2.99 so that this way you can pick up new stuff and give it a try. And then, you know, if you like it, and you want to continue reading it, you go and you buy the next ones. If you don't, you haven't thrown away a lot of money.
Most of their books are either
most of their books are $2.99, I think.
$3.50 or $3.99 at most.
And I just think what they went with the cover art, too, it was a smart choice. It's just one of those things like, what is, because that's what kind of I went there. I'm like, what is going on here?
It's a very good drawing. It's interesting to look at, and there's a lot of color.
Yeah. And you know, my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
You know, I get that a lot.
I love to draw all day long. Won't you come and draw with my... Yeah, you said drawings.
I said drawings, yeah.
I caught it, but I didn't want to say anything.
My accent's not English, it's Brooklyn. It's a big difference.
You cheeky monkey.
So yeah,
I'm not cheeky.
Are you looking at my bum?
I'm not cheeky. I'm just an asshole.
I could talk and talk about this book for hours because it was.
But you know what? We don't have time because we're running along because we're
because I won't shut up.
And I want to get to this food, so we need to.
All right,
to hustle.
All right, so booze in a book. Not that we haven't had enough booze yet, but actually we haven't. There's still more.
No
in front
such
of
thing
us.
As enough booze. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cheers, fucker. Yeah. So all right.
You
almost ruined another comic book.
That wasn't me. That was the dog.
All right. So this week, Booze in a Book, I have God Hates Astronauts #3 from Image Comics, written and illustrated by Ryan Brown, colors by Jordan Boyd, and letters by Crank. And I really wanted to review this, but it literally came down to like a flip of a coin between this and Super Annuated Man as to which one was going to get reviewed.
Which one?
Super Annuated Man.
Okay.
One we did earlier in the show?
Yeah. Okay.
I know, your hangover is really affecting you now.
Yeah, that short-term memory is just gone.
The what?
The short-term memory.
What did you just
say? What?
The only reason I chose this one not to review is because it just paired better with a booze. But you guys have got to go fucking read this book. I don't care if you didn't read the first like trade paperback that was kickstarted and then released by Image. I don't care if you missed issue one and two. Go fucking buy this book. This is funny. It's silly. There's so much stupid, childish humor that adults love in here. The fact...
What guy does not like childish humor?
Yeah.
That's what makes us happy.
Yeah. Like, the fact that when someone gets killed on page 3, and you see a little kind of a brown spark come out from the back of the guy's pants where he's getting killed, and it says, pants shit.
You know? Because like, who doesn't...
It's
not splurging.
You're not making the pants shit sound. We'll have to go back and cut that in.
But the visual here...
All right, but I'm pairing this with a beer from Brewery Vivant, which is local here to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I don't know what distribution is, but they do actually can this beer. And yes, I said can.
What can they do?
They can this beer.
They can?
They can.
They can put it in cans.
But can they can?
Do the can?
Is that the beer we're drinking right now?
No, that's a different beer we're drinking right now.
Because I'm snobbish about cans.
But here's why I actually will give them credit, because I've done the tour of their brewery.
Yeah.
And when they first looked at canning or bottling, they actually brought in beer snobs, much snobbier than you.
I'm sure, because I'm on the low end on the snobby meter.
Well, and they did blind taste tests.
Yeah.
The beer that had been canned and the beer that had been bottled. They took 12 people. 10 of them could not tell the difference. I'm sorry, 8 of them could not tell the difference. 4 of them could. 2 said this is canned. 2 said this is bottled. 1 was right and 1 was wrong for each.
Really?
So they went with cans. They're 16-ounce cans. But the beer that I'm selecting is actually an American Red Ale. And it's actually a hoppy Belgo American Red Ale at 6% called the Big Red Cock. COQ. And I figure if you're going to have a Big Red Cock and you're going to... like joke about funny little things like that, this is the perfect book, because not only that,
this is true,
not only that, the more I read of this book, the fucking more I want to read. The more I drink of this beer, the more I want to drink, and when I drink and read these together, the more I want of each, and then Mel has to deal with me on both ends. So yeah,
secretly you just want a Big Red Cock in your mouth.
And I want God Hates Astronauts in front of me. Although if you want to go back to issue 1, there's some chicken love going on, too. So
it all ties together.
He wants a big red chicken cock in his mouth.
Well, chickens don't have cocks. Roosters have cocks.
He wants a big red rooster cock in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how I had to amend that?
All right. Tony.
Yes.
Maiello.
Yes. What do you want me to say?
Not Tony Bluemouth.
Smurf fucker.
Before we get to our last call,
yes.
Where can people find you and tell us about this convention that you're promoting?
What do you do?
What do we
actually,
do?
Actually, this is going to be really good, because I'm hoping that we might get a little bit of some insider knowledge on this convention.
There's really not a lot of insider knowledge to have at this point.
Okay, well, I know it's in February, but
yes,
do we know
February 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Oh, so we have a date.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've had a date. We had dates for a long time.
Oh, whatever.
6th, 7th, and 8th. It's at the Best Western Sterling Inn in Sterling Heights.
Is there a pool?
There is a water park.
A water park? Really?
Yes, a water park. And...
Wait. Are we going to have exclusive access to the water park?
The park closes at 7 p.m. on Saturday. But from 7 to 9, all of our convention guests and convention goers get exclusive access to an adult swim at the water park.
So wait, is this clothing optional adult swim, or?
Look, I can't, for legal reasons, I can't tell you that you can take your trunks off. But I'm sure.
Well, we're going to be drunk, so we won't. Rules, what rules?
And by the way, I have been there. I've walked the property. They sell beer and wine within the water park.
So, So is it like the old days where there was a smoking and non-smoking area in the bar, and now there's a peeing and non-peeing area in the pool?
Well, I don't know about peeing and non-peeing area, but I know that the whole area is a drinking area.
Okay,
and
perfect.
That should be important to everybody.
We're done with that. Okay, so this is Detroit Fan Fair.
Detroit Fan Fair, comic convention.
Yep, and people can find you online where?
Find us on Facebook at Detroit Fan Fair. On Facebook, search for Detroit Fan Fair. And if you go to DetroitFanFair.com, we're working on getting the site updated right now. We were a little late in our processing of information and just getting everything started, just because the promoters, me, Dennis Barger, and Gary Reed, we have all been so busy with our regular jobs, because we don't, I mean, this isn't what we do for a living. We're not show promoters for a living. And I know myself, I've been extremely busy this year. I haven't been able to get a lot done for the convention up until recently. And, you know, Gary and Dennis as well have been very busy this year. So the site is just now starting to get updated. But there's going to be a lot of information coming within the next couple of weeks that I'm sure a lot of people are going to be extremely happy about. Our Kickstarter will be launching.
You're doing a Kickstarter?
We're doing a Kickstarter primarily because it allows us to accurately keep track of people on a first-come, first-served basis.
Okay.
Artists and vendors will be able to purchase their tables through Kickstarter and get to choose their location on the show floor.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, and the nice thing about this floor layout is the hotel has two points of entrance, and so the show has two points of entrance. So nobody is going to be at the front or the back of the show. You're going to be at both the front and
oh,
the
but
back.
Somebody's going to be in the middle.
Somebody's going to be in the middle, yeah. But the middle will be heavily traveled.
Yes. Cool. Well, we're all looking forward to it. Now, where can people find you personally online?
People can find... Unfortunately, my website...
Yeah, tell us your address.
My websites were hacked, and I didn't want to pay the exuberant extortion fees that my host wanted...
Mel doesn't charge that much to get your site back.
You do sites?
No, just to get it back, because she's the one that hacked it.
Oh, it was you? Damn it, Mel.
She just needs her money back.
I thought it was funny that there was all that gay porn on there, but you know, I know that's
yeah.
The
Hello Kitty porn.
Hello Kitty porn, yeah.
Yeah.
That's me.
So anyway, right now I'm having my websites rebuilt, but you can find me on Facebook at The Art of Tony Maiello. All my artwork is there, and then once my website's back up, I will post information there as well.
And if you want to talk to Tony, you can call 1-800-DRAW-RINGS.
DRAW-RINGS.
All right, other Tony, what do we got for last call? Because we are...
That's you, Smurf fucker.
Did you get to anything else this week?
I got kind of...
What is that?
That's a wristband.
You have to wear that blue wristband when you go to the Smurf nightclub where all the Smurf prostitutes are? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yes. My week has been boozing and...
No, your week has been Smurftastic.
Okay, so it really has been Smurftastic. I do have a couple others that I need to give a shout out to here very quickly. The Woods, number 7, from Boom Studios. Loved that one. Cloaks, number 3 of 4. I kind of was wondering whether or not I was going to keep liking it, and it's actually getting better, and I'm pissed that it's going to end in one issue. Because this should be an ongoing, in my opinion.
There'll probably be a follow-up miniseries.
Well, Boom's really cool about like putting out a miniseries and seeing how it does, and then... If it tracks and they got the audience, they come.
Well,
out
you know,
with
it,
later.
It seems that, and just from a publishing standpoint. Speaking of publishing, RocketInkStudios.com. That's my studio with Bill Pukowski. I completely forgot to mention this. Beer induced forgetfulness. Me and Bill Pukowski, we have our own studio. It's called Rocket Ink Studios. Right now, we are promoting. Matt Bush's Hollywood is Dead.
Yep.
We licensed his property to do trading cards and sketch cards.
So oh, nice.
You could find that in our store. We have Portraits of Poe, which is short stories and poems by Edgar Allan Poe. Each, we have 15 different short stories and poems. Each one is accompanied by a new original piece of artwork. And then 11 different artists all did a portrait of Edgar Allan Poe, which are all included in the book. You can find that at our on our website also.
Little side note, well, suggestion really. You know what would sell like a motherfucker for you guys?
What?
Little portraits of me and Tony and Kevin and Matt.
Yeah. Just
yes.
Yeah, you should. So just a hint. You know,
That sounds like we'll have your people call my people and we'll work this out.
And if we somehow get into the comic book that gets sold at, you know, the different, you know, retail shops, that would be just cool to be having people flip through the pages because they would be
holy
like,
smokes, holy there's a guy having sex with a Smurf right here on page 7.
Jesus. I doomed myself.
Yeah, the great thing is that
Tony no longer has a name. From now on, he will always be known to me as Smurf Fucker.
You know, the best thing is he's the only guy I know whose penis can fit into something that's only 3 apples high.
Ooh, I don't like that joke.
All right, last thing for last call, and I'm really sorry that this has to come right after that comment, but kind of a double shout out, Lil Depressed Boy.
He'll understand.
Yeah, Lil Depressed Boy and Penny Dora and the Wishing Box, both from Image. Lil Depressed Boy issue 2, Penny Dora issue 1, both drawn by a good friend and amazing artist Tina Grace. And I've got to say, the artwork in Penny Dora is hands down some of the most beautiful artwork I've ever seen from Cena himself, and it's. And that's saying a lot because that man is an amazing fucking artist.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, I'm always impressed with the stuff he does and the fact that he is able to kind of change up his style from project to project. But looking at Pandora, that's stellar artwork.
And
Cena, you've outdone yourself.
Well, and Pandora is an all ages book too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that so awesome. Pick it up. But you know, by all ages, unlike most all ages where they just mean kids, no, truly all ages. Great book, go pick it up. So that's it. We ran really long today because, it's been fun.
Yes, it has been fun, but I am glad that it's over because we have some food to eat.
We do. So, all right, kids, keep reading your comics. We will be back next week. Probably not as drunk as this week. But,
don't say that, because then you know you're just going to disappoint everybody.
I'm good at that.
You can do it, Derek.
Ask Mel.
Always.
All right, guys, keep reading your comics. We'll be back next week to talk to you more about them then. See ya.
Nom, 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 nom.
Smurf fucker.
Oh.